This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, school success makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater. I'm joined by a new friend out of Indiana, Clint Holden, who is the owner of SchoolRight, who does some amazing stuff for schools. And him and I connected from another connection of mine. And when I got to talking with him, his personality and I is just, it meshed perfectly. And I was like, oh, this guy's got to be on the podcast. Not only is he a fun dude who's doing some really cool things for schools, but I know he can give you guys some insight that's going to help your school as well. So stay tuned here in just a few minutes as we dive into that. But of course, I do want to highlight our amazing sponsors that help make this podcast possible for you guys to listen to. And one of those is America's Christian Credit Union. They're celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. You can check out all their information on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. My favorite thing about them is their tuition financing. So if you're a school that has a hard time collecting funds from your parents and families, maybe at the end of the year, you've only gotten maybe 95%, 98% of what is owed to you in tuition. That is obviously lost revenue and revenue that's on the table. And so what happens is you can have a tuition financing loan for your families that they get from America's Christian Credit Union, and they pay them. You get your money up front as a school at the beginning of the school year, and it doesn't cost your school anything. So make sure you go check it out, americaschristiancu.com/schools. Whew. All right. So Clint, I'm glad to have you on the podcast, sir. So I'm going to pass it off to you to introduce yourself. So Clint, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Hey, thanks. You know, I think we also share a bald head in common, although yours looks way better. It looks better on a younger face. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Clint Holden, SchoolRight is the company, and we've been around for a number of years in name, but as a legit company since 2018, doing a variety of things to help schools and predominantly Christian schools. So we work in the space of tuition aid verification, comprehensive surveys, and data. It's data collection, analysis, and coaching. Those are the three big areas that we focus on. So that would be the tuition aid verification, the surveys, and development training. We call that DevRx. So that's a little bit about it. And you mentioned the Christian Credit Union, and as part of their sponsorship, and they and us have worked on some white paper product that I think falls right in line with what you're talking about, or what that advertisement was about. So maybe that'll come out in what we talk about today too.
All right. I love it. Well, I always start with the same basic question, Clint. It's, if I was to come visit you where you are in Indiana, what would you say? Which I've never been to Indiana actually. So if you say, Mitchell, you got to do this, you got to go eat this, and you got to do this to experience my area of Indiana, what would I be doing?
You know, I'm going to let you down, because we, as a virtual company, we've moved a bit, and we are actually here for a specific reason and probably a specific season. I'm a Colorado boy, but was in Texas prior to being here and now in Indiana. So if I could say, what would you come and eat? You would have to eat Quack Daddy donuts, best donuts I have ever had. I get paid no money for this commercial for Quack Daddy. And that is just excellent. You know, as far as places to visit, where we spend our time visiting all the time is about 3 hours north of here, and that's Lake Michigan in Michigan. So that doesn't count, but it kind of does.
Okay. I got to just prepare to drive 3 hours, I guess, because I've never...
Another three.
Lake Michigan, again, I mean, I'm a Chicago Bears fan. As I record this, they're 0-4, so it's a brutal year. But, you know, they're up there on the lake, so that's cool, I guess. All right. I love it. Well, hey, Clint, jumping in here, I love what you guys are doing, and I'd love to ask you a few questions and you cater the answers around what you've seen from your work with schools based on your services as a company. So obviously we typically talk about some challenges and you, whoa, there it is. I got the alert from the safety. My watch and my phone are going off.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everything else is too.
There it is.
Hopefully this will only last a minute or 3 seconds.
There we go. I hope it doesn't do it again. So those that are listening, Clint and I talked about this beforehand going, it happened early. It's 2:18. We knew that was coming. So we're like, you know what? If it does truly happen, we're just going to leave it in the recording. So there you go, guys. I got scared for a second. Lisa was right at the beginning of asking a question. So that's good. So jumping into questions. So challenges, we obviously love talking with schools about, hey, what are some challenges you got going on? And obviously your solution of things you guys offer help schools with some of the challenges that they have. So what are some of those ones that come up that you're like, hey, like this report, this survey, this thing that we done, we do helps solve that problem or that challenge that schools are maybe facing and they don't use a service like yours, like SchoolRite?
Yeah. You know, the biggest challenges that come with most schools, regardless of size and flavor of the school is how, in terms of what we do, is the collection of data and what do I do with it? Once I get it, what do I do with it? I can't probably tell you that I've ever met a school leader that doesn't understand the value of utilizing data to make decisions, which is what we would say we do when we talk about collecting data, analyzing data, and then coaching schools through that data. In most cases, the big problem is, well, I've collected it all, and now I don't know what to do with it. I've got to move on to my next big project. And it sits on the back shelf with either a bunch of dust or it's kind of like, well, we'll just check the list. We did it, but we didn't do anything with it. So that's probably the biggest deal. And that's why we exist, to kind of say, let's take this and make it usable for you and make it helpful as you lead your school. And really, that's what good data will do. And so we're going to try and take that kind of almost nasty sounding word or scary word and put it into practice so that wise decisions can be made. And it's not just making decisions from the gut, you know, from the bottom of your soul. I've done it this way before. I'm going to just do it this way again. Data changes that. And it now helps schools watch themselves over a period of time, making sure that they're making decisions that are informed, that are wise, that make corrections based upon what they've seen data say. Now, that isn't true with everything that we do, but that's the predominant focus, at least with our surveys.
Man, and data is so powerful. And it's like you just said, it's, yeah, you got this data. You're like, cool, what do you do with it? Like, it's not powerful if you don't do anything with it. And we'll coach schools all the time. Here's how you should structure your website to help get the most people to actually want to digest your content, potentially want to get a school tour or enroll. Like, there's specific ways to set up your website based on how people look at a website. And what we love doing is some of the softwares we use to help schools is giving them data that they can use for how many school tours did you get? How many people no-showed? How many asked for applications? All these data that go, well, that's really valuable because was the marketing we did useful? Was it helpful? What can we do next year to have more than that? Right. All these things are just super helpful, but you gotta use it. So I love that you guys perform it, but then you're also helping them digest that content and use that content and data, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, Mitchell, in that, the gathering of the data is one thing. So we do that. We gather the data. We collect it in a very practical way with schools. If we're talking about surveys, let's just go that route right now. So yep. We perform that collection for a school, and then we get that and we run it through our system and our threads and push that data back out to the school in now what would be termed what? An executive summary, but then also some very relevant ways to view that, so that they're not just staring at a bunch of numbers and get bogged down in this. What we've really tried to do is take what could be data that would look like this thick and boil it down to what is the most useful pieces so that you can go forward right now, have a win or two, make a few corrections, because this is really cool when I hear stories like this, like, what did you guys do? Your scores from last year to this year, so much different. In one area or two or three areas. Oh, we took one thing. one question where we it was really clear that we had a deficiency in X, Y, or Z, and we adjusted that. And that adjustment makes a difference in a whole bunch of other areas. All of a sudden, people start going, you know what? I trust these guys. They're asking the right questions. They're getting some great responses, and they're doing something with it. So the worst thing you can do is just have a bunch of data, like you said, and do nothing with it. That's happens as well, but that's what we try and coach against.
So do these schools use your services every year, the same thing every year, and then they just hopefully don't see the same information every year because hopefully they've made improvements and getting different results? Is that kind of what the setup of a school using a survey would be?
Typical, yeah. There are a variety of surveys. So depending on how we work with a school, some schools use three or four of our instruments. So we have leadership instruments. We have teacher professional development instruments. But our main instrument is our parent and employee survey, which is closely linked to accreditation standards from accrediting organizations. And we're talking predominantly, well, in the Christian school market. The public school market wouldn't have this. So the Christian school market, whether it's through ACSI or CSI or any of the other accrediting organizations, they will see a line that closely showcases what that accrediting organization is saying, hey, we need to understand you in these domain areas. And then our surveys capture that information and we can give the school relevant a scorecard. We actually give them what looks like a kind of a grade card so they can march through it themselves and see where they've improved from year to year. So yes, the wise schools, not an upsell here, the wise schools use the product over and over and over again, because comparative data is really important, especially in a school environment, whether you are surveying your parents and employees, or if you're surveying your teachers or even your students. So that's something we've got. The leadership surveys tend to be the same way, because when you start to triangulate data, we've got a point here and a point here and a point here, you really get some valid understanding of what's going on. If you lose leadership during one of those 3 years, if we can continue to work with a school during that time, it's more helpful, because now a school might say, hey, we've really done well in this area, and the new data is coming back saying we're kind of off a little bit. What has changed? It could just be that leadership has changed, a program has changed. We've seen all sorts of things, but now we can help kind of push them back on course in a pretty simple fashion, rather than, again, them scratching their heads and trying to guess what has changed themselves and fix it themselves.
Is there like a main challenge you've seen pop up regularly, or maybe not even a challenge, but something that pops up regularly on a report, like, man, we keep seeing this one pop up that schools struggle with that they need to improve? Is there one that stands out that is something you could share?
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break to highlight one of our amazing sponsors, and that is ClassReach. Now, ClassReach supports schools of all sizes from application to graduation. Take charge of your school with ease, power, and mobility using ClassReach, the school management software administrators and teachers love using. You can get your free demo at classreach.com. That's classreach.com. They are amazing people, and they provide this amazing SIS software for you to keep track of your students' grades, communicating with families that are enrolled, and a whole bunch more. So again, check it all out on their website, classreach.com. They are awesome. All right, now back to the show.
Yeah, there is, and I kind of laugh at it. We our main survey, so it would be kind of our granddaddy survey, is the parent employee opinion survey. This is written around, like I already said, close alliance to accreditation standards. So if a school has a responsibility to do a survey of their constituents, and they would use our survey, it would likely meet that accreditation requirement. And as a matter of fact, I've never heard that it doesn't. So they have asked for surveys to gather information on philosophy and mission, reputation and atmosphere, personnel. I'm gonna go a little broke on one of these here. Let me see if I've got the information in front of me. I've done this how many times? Hundreds. Student services and care, and the development of students. There's six key areas. And we also focus in on parent enrollment factors and working conditions for staff. But of those six areas, philosophy and mission, governance and leadership, reputation and atmosphere, personnel, student services and care, and development of students, the two lowest scoring areas, bar none, student services and care, development of students.
Wow.
That's scary. It's not like it's huge dip, but it's a big dip. We can look, we have normed our scores. We've had so many surveys over the years, you know, so we can compare data from school to school to school to school. And this one continues to be the lowest area. Student services and care is clearly the lowest by, it could be a quarter of a percentage point, which is big. And what we though can do in that is now provide some very granular look at what is missing divisionally. Like we can look at the elementary division. Is that where it's coming from? Is it coming from a middle school division, from a high school division? Is it across the board with, you know, all of those divisions? And we can start to find out where the loose points are. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me in one way, Mitchell, because schools really do desire to do their very best, but they aren't funded as well as they could be funded. And a lot of times the students is what it just doesn't go well for them. And so in a student services and care, we might be looking at something as simple as health services for the students. We might be looking at adequacy of recreation equipment or adequacy and proper use of technology. These would be student services. There could be other areas too, where we're talking about what is it that you are actually doing that is improving the life of a student as a result of them sitting in a seat in your school. It's not the teacher in front of them. That is important, but personnel is actually one of the highest scores. So there you go. That's great. And many teachers would say that while I may feel as though I have the resources or those resources are constantly growing and being developed and I'm getting better and better resources from my school to do what I do in my profession, they can't help when the curriculum perhaps is falling apart at the seams. And not that the curriculum is everything, or they can't help it that they can't take care of a sick child the right way in the classroom, or that they aren't able to use technology the way a student at this day and age needs to learn technology. So there's a variety of things, but our surveys don't tell them, hey, you're doing this wrong, and this wrong. It points to that broad area. And then we ask the school, what are you doing here? What's going on? And 9 times out of 10, a school will recognize their low scores and they'll say two things. Well, that doesn't surprise me. And I think I know exactly what it is. They do that all the time. And it's good. That's the conversation we try and get them involved in. And now they're having it among themselves. And if a school goes back with several low scores on a survey, and this would be not normal. It's not typical to have a bunch of low scores. We give schools a range of scores from 1 to 5, basically, on every single question. And then we give them an overall score for their survey. They'll be somewhere between 1 and 5. So you could imagine if your survey score was 4.79, that's really high. Most aren't. But now they can begin to look and they can find the areas that have drifted downward, and they can have discussion points of saying, what are the most important pieces? Where can we find the win? Because we can't always do it in 10 different areas. We don't have that kind of time. We don't have the money to do that. So what are the 2 or 3 things that we can fix? And so we had a school like this a few years ago where student services and care was clearly their lowest score. They didn't get rated well from the parents, the employees, or the students. We did a separate survey of the students, same problem. So they took one project and they worked on, this was one of the ones I kind of alluded to earlier. I was kind of going, what did you guys do? Something changed here. They said, we decided to build a student lounge. That was all they did. And it all of a sudden gave this impression that, wow, you actually took care. And this wasn't necessarily a question that said, what do the students want? Oh, they want a student lounge. They just said, if we're going to truly show our care and our love for these students, what do the students want? They want a place to hang out, to not feel threatened. They want a place that's comfortable, et cetera. They kind of outlined that themselves. And that changed their scores dramatically over even the next year, the next year, the next year. They just kept going higher and higher. And this was one of our lower scoring schools, which now is probably one of our highest scoring schools. It's just neat to see those things happen. You know, we can't obviously watch all of them, but when you hear those stories, it's pretty encouraging.
That is super encouraging. I love it because you could imagine there's two different ways to respond to these surveys. You go, like you said, the one school going, yep, I knew it. Let's do it. Or the one that goes, you guys are wrong. This is not accurate. I can't believe we paid for this. This is wrong. Like, you know, people are lying. Like, you could have that response and go, oh boy, like you guys are in for a, I'm sure you've had that over the years. Somebody who's been like, no, I don't believe this data that's coming out. And you're like, oh boy.
It honestly, it doesn't happen much, but I do get scared from time to time. You get ready to go into these meetings, and we always do follow-up meetings on these surveys. They're either, you know, you can have them live or by Memorex for those that know what that means. So you either get them live or you get them recorded. And it's a little nerve-wracking because you never know who's sitting around the table listening to you. And these are super intelligent, educated people. And sometimes you just wonder if you're going to say something where you're like, that doesn't make any sense at all. But it's just almost been always the opposite. It is usually the, wow, I never thought of that, never saw that correlation, which we can do through the data too. We don't intentionally do correlative pieces between A and B and C, but there's a lot of that you see just on a spreadsheet when the scores are put next to each other. All of our scores are color coded as well. So a school can quickly look and say, where's the red? Where's the green? You know, the green is good. You're getting an A. The red is you're failing in this area. Yeah. And then where are our normal scores and how have those improved over time? So that's kind of fun to watch.
That's awesome. Well, we talked about some challenges, even shared some wins. I would love to hear like what's going, if you have some cool win stories or things that are going good from schools that have used your services and like, hey man, we keep seeing this pop up that's going really well. And here's some things that schools have done. You mentioned the lounge thing. I don't know if there's other ones that come to mind, but we love touching on challenges, but also like brag about schools and what they're doing.
Sure. You know, I don't think of any necessarily just pop off my head. I do think of this one school. So most of the schools that we survey are larger schools, and we're talking in the Christian world, and larger to a Christian in the Christian world is, you know, maybe 400 or 500 students, but we're talking about schools that are, you know, they've got 800, 900, 1,000, maybe 2,000 students. Those are the schools that we do a lot of our surveying with. We do survey smaller schools. It just takes an intentionality that's different. And one of those is you really have to have a lot of participation so that the data will be reliable. Well, I think of a school that contacted us a few years back, and I think we're going into our fifth season with them. They were just starting. I'm like, wow, I don't know. You're going to have to like have everybody involved. I mean, they maybe had 30 parents. That's like a little scary. Because first of all, you have to have everybody participating at that level. And that thing the school has continued to grow and has continued to show strength in areas that we were helping them focus on. And why were they utilizing us over and over? Because they were trying to go through an accreditation process. And the accreditors said, keep doing this. This is giving you the reliable information you need so you know what to improve upon and you know where your weak spots are. And that's what an accrediting group will do. They'll come in and say, hey, this is a weak spot. So here's what your homework is over the next few years. Fix this. And then they can come back, survey it again, and find out if it's perceived better. That is in many ways that the accrediting groups that come through can validate whether a school is improving. You know, you can look at things, you can look and see if a floor is clean, but you can look at data and go, wow, the improvement is stark and it's very obvious from these key stakeholders or these participant groups. So when we survey, we also break all of the data out by the participant group. So if it was a parent, if it's a parent of a elementary student, a parent of a middle school, parent of a high school, would do the same thing for staff. And whether it's coming from administration or if it is in some cases coming from board members, so that we have all of those collective points. And now you can look at different opinions on a particular subject on all these different data points. And it's really very helpful. And so I think that would probably be the biggest type of win that we see consistently from the schools that use this over and over. The opposite side of that, not that you asked, but I'm going to answer it, is the schools that use this as merely a check off the list are not the schools that we kind of say, hey, if you really need a survey, we're obviously going to help you, but it is one of the worst reasons to ever survey. Well, we've got to do a survey. Usually when we get them hooked into our system, they're like, we want to use that survey again. And that is just, you know, because of God's good grace in our lives that we're able to provide something that is that valuable to them. And I think the thing that has helped in this is our main focus, our only focus, not main, our only focus are schools. That's all we do. And our main focus are the Christian schools. Does our survey work well with non-Christian schools? Certainly does. We work with some charter schools. We've worked with some international public type of schools. We alter what the questioning looks like. We make no bones about it, what we believe in terms of our own faith, but we can help these schools become better at what they're trying to do. And they'll find the process with us is pretty understandable. And I think that's what's helped too. It's not confusing to use our service and our system.
Well, awesome, Clint. Well, I love what you're doing. I love to slowly wrap up the episode with my final question. We can spend a little bit on this if you want, but I always ask about piece of advice. So you got school leaders listening that maybe they've done surveys before. Maybe they've never done a survey, didn't even know what a survey was, what's out there for schools. If you had a piece of advice that you would share with them just in general, maybe on that topic, what would one of those or two of those pieces of advice be?
Well, right at the top of the list is don't be afraid of this. Don't be afraid of data. Don't be afraid that it's going to come after you. That is just not the case. Our surveys do ask, you know, what's the principal like? You know, what's the approachability of the principal like? What's the involvement of the principal like with the students, et cetera? There are certain points in our staff working conditions. You know, is the staff feeling overwhelmed? Are they feeling like they're supported, or et cetera? So that stuff could feel consequently like it's pointing back at you. But the schools that I have found are the most resilient and the most desirous of growing are the ones, and you know, 95% of the time I'm talking to the head of school about the survey. Occasionally it's a board member that calls and says, hey, we want to do a survey. And we actually, by the way, we'll check that out a little bit more. Why are you calling me? Why is the head of school not calling me? But in those cases, when the head of school can understand that the school is not about them only. The school is about how can I be trusted in what I do in leading the school? How can our school be trusted in the community, the greater community, and the school community itself to be a viable option, the option? One of the things we look at is if a parent could choose any school to go to in the area, are they choosing you? And we do look at that. We look at it from a financial standpoint. So we do some data analysis on what the finances look like of the parent body. And if they could choose any school, are they choosing your school because of that? Because what we don't want is, well, it's in the neighborhood, so that's where I chose to send my school. What we want to know is that those of higher means are coming to your school because they see the value of it and they're willing to drive to it. And we can also then help the school strengthen itself with its tuition aid program by analyzing that data to let them know, here's what you've got in terms of how many people actually need financial aid. How many people are falling below that bar of financial aid? So the answer to your question on the other, if there were two, so one would be, don't be afraid of it. Number two, realize that this will actually tell you more than you ever thought it could tell you. In a very simple fashion. And when we report that back to the schools, we try and say, hey, here's some simple counsel points. And here's how we'll help this data just pop off the page, one point or two where you will probably say, I had no idea. We watch this stuff all the time. I had no idea about that. I didn't even know how we would ever determine that. How do we determine if we can raise our tuition? Our data will tell them that, and our report will tell them that too. So those are the big things with the collection of the data and the analysis of it.
Love it. Well, before we sign off, I'd love you to mention how people can get in contact with you and your company if they wanted to work with you.
Certainly. So you can reach out to me directly, clint@schoolright.net. You can visit our site online, schoolright.net, and there you can read about the surveys, our tuition aid verification program, which we didn't really talk about, which is fine, benefact.com. That's another day. And our development training program, which is called DevRx. So all that stuff is kind of linked into that website. And we would love to hear from you, get you on the mailing list, and just keep you apprised, and hopefully have you considering doing a survey. Regardless of the size of your school, we can dial into your needs and help you out. And we're really here for these Christian schools. That's really why we exist. That's my heart passion, by the way. I didn't share that up front. My background was all Christian school work. And when I knew it was time to step away from that that platform of, you know, using what God had trained me to do, my desire was to help at the next level. What could that look like? That's what School Right became.
I love it. Well, hey, we have two more minutes. Can you give me the pitch on Benefact real quick? Because we talked about that before. And can you give me the plug? Because now people are going to go, wait, Benefact? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so Benefact is a financial aid verification program. It kind of stands, it's under the umbrella of School Right, and it stands on its own. So schools that want to and need to and should be determining who needs financial aid, how much can they afford to actually pay us? And rather than leaving dollars on the table or willy-nilly handing out financial aid, trying to verify it themselves in some way, trying to be consistent, a program like ours, and there are others as well, we do the same thing in general, and that is we determine what a family can reasonably afford to pay tuition dollar-wise to the school. So we verify various sources of income and expenses, and we make proper adjustments to both of those that would include cost of living type of factors. And then we present back to the school what we call our FACT report, which is Family Anticipated Contribution Total. Schools trying to do that on their own, putting themselves in some legal jeopardy. And this is why companies like Benefact exist, to help schools meet that criteria and to vet every applicant the exact same way without any bias. And that's what the program is about.
That's awesome. And they can find that on schoolright.net, a link to Benefact?
Correct. Yep. Benefact.com is the Benefact site, but you can get to it through the School Right website.
Perfect. Okay. I love that one. I'm glad you mentioned it again so we could touch on it before we signed off for today. So, well, Clint, I appreciate everything that you do, man. I love you. I love your company and all the things you do to help schools. So I'm just wishing you and your whole team nothing but the best as you continue to hopefully grow and serve more and more schools with what you guys are doing. So thanks for taking time out of your day to hop on the School Success Podcast with me today.
Yeah, our pleasure. My pleasure. It's been great to get to know you. Looking forward to the days ahead of developing this friendship. Thanks a lot, Mitchell.
Well, another huge shout out and a thank you to Clint for taking time and being on the podcast today. I could talk to that guy for hours. He is such a delight, super fun, and of course, funny as well. And I love what he's doing with his company. So guys, if you have not checked out his stuff yet, I'll give you the URLs real quick. So Benefact is one of them, BeneFaq.com, as well as School Right. So that's school and then RIGHT.net. You can check out all the stuff he's doing in the surveys, tuition aid verification. He's doing a lot of really cool things that are serving schools and helping schools, providing a great service. I want to make sure you guys get connected with him and all the stuff that he's doing over there. Great guy. So get connected with his company. All right. And he's there to help your school. And I love meeting new people that are also serving schools. And we're just trying to figure out what are other ways that we can serve you guys who are educators that are and in the weeds every day, educating and loving these students and running these schools. And we want to provide the best possible services we can to help you guys. And he is definitely one of them, along with America's Christian Credit Union, ClassReach. There's so many out there. We want to make sure you guys are well-resourced and equipped. So check them out. Now, we have three great resources for you guys that are completely free. Obviously, one of them is this podcast that you're listening to right now, completely free. We want to make sure you guys are getting great information to help you yourself grow as well as your school. The other one is our private Facebook community called School Success Makers. I'm personally in there. I would love to see you join that group and connect with some of the other educators that we have in there. And the third one is our School Success Report, a weekly email that goes out to anybody who wants it, but mainly it's for educators and school leaders. You can find that and sign up for that on our website as well, schoolsuccessmakers.com. Go sign up for the School Success Report. Gonna be some fun stuff we're gonna do with that. So we wanna make sure you don't miss out on any of it. And if you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, ideas about the podcast or anything that we talk about or do on the podcast, please let us know. You can submit a form on our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com, and let us know. And if that's, I think that's it. So we'll be back here next week as usual on the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.